In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. In the parable we hear about the gospel today, from the gospel today, Jesus explains it to his disciples, and it's talking about the soil of the various hearts, and explains it very clearly. Online on one forum, someone asked what someone was going to, another priest might be preaching on today. He says, well, you know, Jesus explains it pretty well, so I need to preach, right? So we're well aware of the various understandings of the soils of the heart, that the hard heart rejects the word of God, that one heart that is choked with worldly cares oftentimes does not bear fruit because it is so absorbed in the world. But I want today to spend a little time talking about the sower. And in order to do that, you know, I know Mark DeRoghi's not here, so I can pick on him. You might be aware that he has done much of the landscaping last year and planted roses and flowers and various things and various grasses around the property. He did that, and he knows what he's doing, and he read about it. But can you imagine if I had said, yes, sure, you can do that, and he had maybe planted the roses in the parking spots, or maybe have put a few bushes in the driveway? Now, we would think that would be somewhat crazy and foolish. Obviously, no one would do that. That's not where those things go. They don't grow. But when we hear about the parable of the sower, we also can think of not only the agrarian society that Jesus was talking to, but also this notion of how precious seed is. That seed is something so precious that it is not something that you carelessly toss about. And so just like Mark with the landscaping, a farmer would make sure the land was tilled, would make sure that everything, that it was the proper soil before he planted the seed. And that's what farmers do. They make sure everything's right. They plant the seed in faith, and they hope that it'll eventually bear fruit. But today's parable has the sower throwing the seed wherever. It doesn't say carelessly, but he throws it on a rocky path. Everyone knows that doesn't work out. He throws it into a place where he apparently is going to allow weeds to grow. He does that. So we mentioned that the parable was about the soil of our hearts, but it also tells us about something about God. Because in the gospel and in the scriptures, we can understand that God desires that all men, all human beings, be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And that God is constantly and always, every moment, dispersing his word, sending us messages, sending us his presence, and surrounding us with his grace in some way. He is indiscriminate in the amount of mercy, in the amount of grace he pours upon us. As it says in the scriptures, it rains upon the wicked as well as the righteous. God does not discriminate, and he pours his grace out upon all of creation. And we see this image in the sower, a loving God who puts his word out anywhere, that if there's any possibility of it taking root in any sort of way, that he is willing to commit something precious into that space. So we'd have to say from this, we'd have to extrapolate a few things about this for our own spiritual lives. Number one, that God is always in some way reaching out to you. He's always looking for you to respond to him in some way. And your response will be entirely dependent upon how your heart is cultivated, how the soil is cultivated. Now, it's interesting, if you've ever seen a farmer You know, in Vermont, it just so happens that my parents made me clear fields of rocks as a child. That's something, we would buy property, and for some strange reason, we had to take all the rocks out of the ground because they were sticking up everywhere. And then my parents liked to plant a big garden as well. But the process of pulling rocks up, the process of tilling the soil, the process of rooting and uprooting old trees is a violent process. It is a disturbing to the land, obviously, because we're trying to tame it and make it a place where something can grow. Sometimes our suffering in life is also very much like this tilling of the field. Because some of the suffering in our life is meant to break up the rocky grounds of our heart. It's meant to loosen that path that has been so trampled on. The paths are like passions, because you think a path always takes you somewhere. And when we follow our passions, our sins and our sick passions, we wear down and we make hard spots in our life. And it takes something abrupt and disruptive to break that up and make it fertile. So that is also how God deals with our hearts and with the soil of our hearts. Because He knows where the seed will grow. So if you are suffering, turn to God and ask Him to show you how it is that your soil is being tilled, how it is that this can be beneficial for your heart, so that you may receive the Word of God. And by the end of today's epistle, it says that the main thing that is looked for is the fruit. Not just that something grows, but that it actually bears fruit. And this is said throughout the Gospels, that you will know the followers of Christ by their fruit. The fig tree was cursed because it bore no fruit. So all of those words that have been, those seeds have been put into our life that have fallen in hard places, that have sprung up and disappeared, that have been choked out by the cares of this life, those don't have much meaning. What God is looking for is for us, as He uses His precious seed, to accept it willingly and then to actually bear fruit. And what is that fruit? That fruit is righteousness. That fruit is holiness. That fruit is, in the litmus test, is love of our neighbor and love even of our enemies. Because the fruit of following Christ is always becoming Christ-like, however that may look like in your personality. So today we baptize baby Sophia. And you know that we hope that we pray, not that we hope, we've asked God to make this water a place where she would die and rise again, that she would put off the old man and put on the new man. That is precisely the beginning of the soil of her heart, that the foundation of her very life would be receiving the Holy Spirit, would be receiving Christ within her. And that for the rest of her life, her parents, her godparents, are challenged to preserve that soil, to make it so that it, in her own unique way, can receive the Word of God and bear fruit. For us adults who are baptized as adults, it's different. It's a path of repentance. It's a path of seeing the weeds and pulling them out. It's a path of breaking up the soil, sometimes through suffering, and then sometimes through our own ascetic efforts of fasting and praying and seeking God. But in the end, we hope that this little seed that's been planted today and this little girl will bear fruit. It's ultimately all about bearing fruit. So may our God, who blesses us generously, indiscriminately, and lovingly, who throws a seed everywhere with the hopes that someone would be receptive to it, receive it, and bear fruit, may we receive in our hearts today some semblance of life and growth and transformation, so that we in our Christian lives can not only follow the path, but begin to bear fruit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.